Welcome again to our series on Know Your Bible. And we're in the Old Testament, and now we come to the book of Judges. The book of Judges, and we have to give the, shall I say, the circumstances that surround this book, so that you might understand, you know, where Israel is in their history. We started with the fact that they were coming out of Egypt. They came to Mount Sinai, where Moses said, you know, it's not good to remain here. You've compassed this mountain long enough. Come on. They went through the wilderness, where they came to Kadesh Barnea. And God said, I want you to go into the promised land. And they said, we will not. There are giants there. And God was furious with them and said, all right, your generation will not go in, but your children will. And so they had to spend another 38 years, making 40 years in all, in that wilderness. And God said, you know, your carcasses will perish in this wilderness. And so a whole generation, all those 20 and above who came out of Egypt, perished in the wilderness. And then we came to Mount Moab, the plains of Moab. And there Moses rehearsed, you know, all the way that they had come, repeated the law for this new generation. And then God took him to show him the land at Pisgah. And then afterwards, God took Moses. He buried his body. And you say, why? Well, there's a reason that that body was needed, as the Apostle Jude said. The Archangel Michael was sent for that body so that Moses could appear on the Mount of Transfiguration with Elijah before Jesus and Peter, James, and John. Well, now, the new leader took over. His name was Joshua. He had a fresh mandate from God, and that mandate was to go in and possess the land that we call today Palestine, land of Israel. But in those days, it was called the land of Canaan, because the Canaanites, a pagan people, were in the land. Now then, Joshua goes in, crosses miraculously the River Jordan, speaking of the crucified life, coming to Gilgal, speaking of circumcision, circumcising our hearts to love the Lord, our lips to speak as the oracles of God, our ears to hear from God, and to walk circumspectly. Then Joshua had wonderful victories against Jericho, against the 31 kings. And then, at the end of his life, he still had not possessed all the land. And he says, you know, the land is before you, to the people. And he said, continue to possess it. They made a commitment to do so. But you know, we read, after Joshua and the elders that knew him passed away, there was a period called the Judges. And there was a completely, shall I say, new era for Israel. There was no, if I could say this, single leader. And you know, when you have a void in leadership, there's a great danger. And one of the things that sums up the book of Judges is a little phrase. In their days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own sight. No leadership, no guidance, And so everyone did what they thought was right in their own eyes. And so, you know, in that case, all kinds of standards, weren't there? But the children of Israel would sin. And the result of this was that God then would raise up an enemy. So we have a cycle that's going to develop here. The children of Israel sinned. God would then raise up another nation that would oppress them. Then the children of Israel would come to their senses and they would repent. And when they repented, God would send a deliverer. And that deliverer was called a judge. There were 13 in all. 13 judges in this period of time. And something that we need to understand is this. God sent whom he would. God chose the leaders that would break the oppression of the enemy and set the children of Israel free and bring them into a rest for a period of time. But, you know, you think of a leader raised up by God as somebody who's got integrity, someone who's righteous, someone who's pious and devout. But unfortunately, that was not the case with some of the judges. But the first one was named Othniel. And Othniel was everything that you could desire of a leader. He was very upright. He was a man of courage. He was a man of valor. And he had a wife whose name was Aksa. And Aksa moved him in the right direction to ask spiritual blessings from her father. And the father-in-law of Othniel was Caleb, who was with Joshua, one of the two spies who brought back a good report. Well now, others were not so. But I'd like to look at one or two of these judges with you, because leadership is so important. And to a certain extent, every one of us is a leader, whether it be in the home, in Sunday school, or whatever. Now, one of the judges was a woman, and I think she is a role model for all women in public ministry. Number one, we are told that she had a husband. And that husband is named Lapidoth. And so we are given the impression that Lapidoth ruled the home. Deborah had the ministry, but Lapidoth ruled the home. Everything was in order. Deborah judged the people sitting under a palm tree. And here we have a situation where again we have an enemy. Now, Deborah doesn't try and assume a masculine role. No, there is a general named Barak. And he is the one that fights the battles. But under the anointing and mantle of the prophetess, Deborah. And she gives the directions. And she tells how it's going to come to pass. And Barak is submissive to the anointing and the mantle of the prophetess. It's he who does the fighting. And then Deborah says, well, you're not going to get the honor. The honor's going to another woman, Jael, who killed Sisera, the captain of the opposing army. But what I want to say is this. You know, Deborah remained in her role of a woman. The others respected the anointing upon her. And to my way of thinking, it's very much like someone in the last century called Catherine Kuhlman, who had the anointing, but she never tried to act like a man. She was deferential to the men, but they were deferential to her because of her anointing. And that is how it should be. When God raises up a woman in a place of authority in his church, there was a beautiful harmony. Everybody was flowing in their God-given roles, and the result was that, if I could say this, she became a role model for all women called to public ministry. Now then, following Deborah, well, the children of Israel repeat the cycle. They got into sin again. And so God had to bring the Midianites this time. And, the children of Israel cried out to God. And God raised up a man called Gideon. Gideon. And an angel came to him and said, "Oh, thou most mighty man of valor." And Gideon looked around to see who the angel was speaking of, because he himself did not feel, as it were, that mighty man of valor. And you know, the same with Moses. When Moses was commissioned, you know, Moses said, "Who me? You know, who me?" And I think so often that is the attitude, isn't it? When God calls us, we say, "Are you sure, Lord?" You know, I felt the same way. When I was young, you know, and God clearly called me, you know, I said, "Lord, look at so-and-so, one of my friends, several of my friends." You know, I thought, they should have had the call. You know, and God had an old saint. One of my teachers, actually, in Bible school, come to the little church that I was in at that time and prophesied and said, "You know, of all the millions that cry upon my name, do not I know whom I would have as a leader?" And so I couldn't deny it. But I always felt others were far more competent than myself. And Gideon felt that way. But you know, Gideon had, if I could say this, a fault in his life. You know, when God speaks, you say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I believe. All right, you've called me. I believe you'll keep me." And one of the things I was very clear about was this. You know, when I went to three Bible schools, incidentally, as a student, and, you know, in one, last one, we had no end of stories, you know, from former students, how they had failed and left the ministry, and some even went into taverns and things like that. And I said to the Lord, "You know, I do not want to start and then fail you. I'd rather not start than in the end fail you." God gave me the assurance. "No," he said, "you know, I will keep you to the end." And he certainly has done that. Well, now, Gideon, you know, instead of taking God at his word, you know, made some very astonishing statements. He said, "If you've really called me as you said you have," that's a terrible thing to say. You know, that is questioning God. He said, "Look, I'm going to lay a fleece upon the ground. And I want the fleece to be wet and the ground to be dry. And God granted him that. And then he said, well, that I'm very sure. He said, let the fleece be dry and all around be wet. And God did so. You know, that was a tragedy in his life. Because you see, after God gave him such great victories, what happened? Well, he became the judge or the ruler of Israel. And he made an ephod, which is a priest's garment. And in it he put two stones. And anybody who wanted to hear from God, they came to that ephod and put in their hand and, you know, brought out a stone, yes or no, you see. But you know, it became a sin to Israel. In other words, instead of going to God himself and hearing from God, they went to this ephod, you see. And it became a snare to the whole children of Israel. You've got to be very careful as a leader that you don't have a fault that is given to those over whom you have leadership. You've got to be very careful of that. You know, I heard of just recently of one pastor who has now died, but, you know, was not discreet with church finances and accumulated far much money to himself that he should never have done. Do you know, in his congregation, he had a man who ran for political office. In fact, when I was there at his church, oh, this is many years ago, somebody came up by the side of me and said, oh, I really have appreciated your tapes. Oh, I said, well, thank you. And I said to somebody else, well, who is that man? Well, he said, he's the vice president of the country. Well, later on, he became the president. But you know, he did exactly what the pastor did. He accumulated some of the wealth of the country to himself. Then he was put out of office in disgrace and fled to another country. You know, you had to be so careful as a leader that there is not a flaw in you that is transmitted to others. But Gideon had this flaw. You know, hath God said? You know, well, let's have a fleece. So be very careful of that. Don't fall into that error. If God has spoken, then we take him at his word. To ask for a fleece is really to demean God. Well, if you said what you said, well, come now. We take him at his word. But there you are, Gideon ruined that generation. In fact, he's passed it on to many, hasn't he? Well, now, I want to look at another judge with you. And this judge, of course, is very well known. Very well known. He's known for his superb strength. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, the Spirit of might. And, of course, you know who I'm talking about, Samson. Look at some of the extraordinary things that Samson did. Extraordinary things. He killed a lion with his bare hands. I don't know how many of you have seen a lion, but I've been to Africa and had a lion very close to me. They're very powerful. Very, very powerful. They're the king of the jungle. And very powerful indeed. And you certainly don't take them on in battle unless you're well armed. But Samson just took it with his hands, just ripped that lion apiece. Then he came back later on and he found that the bees had made their nest and there was honey in that lion. And you know, from that came out a very interesting saying, which is a truth and a very important truth indeed. Out of the strong came forth sweetness. I've always thought of that. You know, the person who is the sweetest is the strongest. It's the weak who yap, complain, and murmur. So we want to be filled with God's strength. So out of us can flow the sweetness of God. Well, and then he slew 30 young men and took their clothes. And then another thing he did, he took the tails of 300 foxes and then put, you know, a torch, a lighted torch. Well, how is that? Here are 300 foxes lining up to have their tails tied and a burning torch put in and then sent into the wheat fields to burn them. Only God can do things, extraordinary acts of valor. But you know, I spoke about the flaw in Gideon's life. Samson, as we all know too well, had a flaw, and that was women. You know, when Samson was born, his mother was told a razor must not come on his hair or his head. And in Jewish custom, he had these seven, if I could say this, you know, strands of hair, or braids of hair. Speaking of the seven spirits of the Lord that were upon him. Well, now, the Philistines, who were the enemies of Samson, wanted to kill him. But he was too strong for them. If they came against him, he would come out and slay them. But this weakness of Samson, women, and the result was the Philistines knew the weakness. And that's where they were going to attack Samson. They couldn't attack his strength. That was his strong point. They attacked his weak point. And you know, we've got to be very careful about having weak points, about having a besetting sin that can tear us down. King David had it. Well, Samson had it. And Samson wasn't at all careful. And he went after all these women, you see. And so the Philistines sent one, Delilah. And Delilah pressed and pressed and pressed upon him until eventually Samson yielded up the key to his strength. He said, if my hair is shaven, then I become like another man. Delilah cut his hair, called in the waiting Philistines. And Samson, you see, rose up at old times, not realizing he had lost the anointing. And they took him, put out his eyes. You know, spiritual blindness had come upon him. And then they had a huge banquet. And this banquet was held in a hall which was supported by pillars, and a main pillar too. There was a boy that was ordered to watch over Samson. And Samson said to the boy, because Samson's chained, he said, lead me, guide me, that I might rest against this pillar. The hair had grown again. And now, Samson said, blind Samson, says, oh God, may I now take vengeance upon my enemies. And holding this pillar, his strength had come back. because his consecration had returned. And the result was that he broke that pillar, and all the Philistines sitting in this banquet hall above came crashing down, and 3,000 were killed. And he killed more as his death than he did during his life. But what an abysmal way to die. You know, you want to go out like the Apostle Paul in triumph and in joy. I've finished my course. But Samson finished it. If I could say this dismally, we don't want to be like that. Well, the book of Judges, what it teaches us. You know, God uses those whom he will. But it doesn't mean to say that those he uses are accepted always by him. Let us, if we're used, cry out to God, O God, cleanse me from any flaw. And O God, that I be like John the Baptist, Jesus, Paul, Peter. You know, that I finish my course with joy and victory. And may God grant that in whatever field God chooses to use us, we shall be faithful. We shall bring people out of bondage. But we ourselves shall indeed walk in a way that we can be a role model to others, and that we, by the grace of God, may finish our course with joy and victory, and that we can receive the crown of righteousness from the righteous God, who will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. God bless you.